So, Father, we just thank you for another night together in fellowship and just coming to glorify you. And we just ask, Lord, that you just guide our lips and just allow us to be edifying to each other. And we just praise you for all that you're doing in all our lives, Lord, and bringing us to just a place of perfection. And, Lord, we just want more of you and more of your truth and just come into more of a manifestation of Christ in us. And we just thank you, Lord, for just how you're working in all of us and just giving us a hunger and a desire to be obedient to you, to be overcomers, and to be pleasing to you, Lord. So, Father, we just thank you that we can have this opportunity tonight, Lord. And we just ask you just bless us tonight and just allow the revelation to come forth and truth to come forth. And Lord, we thank you for the prayers you're answering in our families and in our lives, Lord, and we praise you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, why don't we go ahead and mute. And if anybody needs to be muted, I can mute them. And I think it's star to come out of the mute. So
did you let me, Paul? I mean, Tim?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
All right, I got you. So let's go ahead and you know, start up in prayer. And does anybody need prayer or have somebody they want to pray for?
Yeah, I do, Tim.
All right.
It's my youngest daughter, Connie. She's supposed to go into surgery, have her gallbladder removed on the 8th. And so I'd just like to lift her up in prayer. And I've talked to her today on the phone, and she's done a little research and whatever, you know, about Jade Helm and a lot of different things going on, and she's scared. And so I've been ministering to her for the last few days. And so, Father, I just lift Connie up to you, Lord, that you would continue to draw her into your word and draw her to your son. And, Lord, she believes in the doctors and all this, that, and the other in the world. And so, Lord, I just put my faith with her concerning this surgery will go okay for her, and that that she'll come out okay in all of it, and give you the glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Well, that's interesting. She's looking into a few of those things. I was talking to somebody today, and they have a couple of daughters that live out of state and aren't really, you know, real close to the Lord. I mean, actually, this person is a fairly new believer, and she was amazed that she had gotten a call from one of her daughters, and her daughter had figured out a couple different routes to get from where she lives to where her mom lives, all in back roads. And her daughter felt that she was going to, you know, in case of an emergency, she was going to go to another city, but she just feels that, you know, and we know it's the Lord who's just changing her heart, that the Lord changed her heart to come to her mom's house. And that was definitely answered prayer. And then apparently, I don't know if her sister talked to her other sister, but she talked to her, you know, her other daughter, and her other daughter had the same plans. And they were planning all back roads, and which I thought was pretty interesting. And it turns out that the one daughter works for a company, and the people there, it's the whole company is owned, you know, they're Jewish that owns this company, and she's very you know, she was asking questions about the Shemitah and if her mom knew anything about it and that, and her daughter was basically saying that she saw that there might be a downturn or something happen, you know, coming up, and, you know, which was kind of another answer to prayer. So, you know, she's been praying for her daughters, and here the Lord is opening their eyes through other people. And I thought it was kind of interesting that, you know, how the Lord is just working in you know, other family members like that. And so, you know, so he, you know, we just got to keep them in prayer. And the Lord can change their hearts, change their minds, put something, you know, in there, ask questions. So it's kind of neat. We just got to keep praying and believing. So, all right, anybody else? The other interesting thing she kind of shared with me is that she'd left the company and part of, I think she had some stock options with this company. And she was just kind of leaving these stock options in, I think it's, you know, for kind of a retirement thing or something like that. And the Lord basically put on her heart, I think last week, to, you know, she never moved this money, did anything with it, and put on her heart last week to do something with these stocks, and she ended up selling these stocks. And she said the next day they tanked. And she was just amazed that the Lord had, you know, just put that on her heart to do that. And, you know, it's been speaking to her like that. And then, you know, she gets these calls from her daughters. And, you know, she's just seeing the Lord just working, you know, how much the Lord loves her. So it's kind of neat. So, all right, anybody else?
Yeah, Tim, this is Judy.
Hey, Judy.
I have a cousin, his name is Mark, and he's a missionary, and he's stuck in Turkey. Is it Istanbul? Is that how you pronounce that? In Turkey? Istanbul?
Istanbul? Is it Istanbul, Turkey?
Well,
I don't know. Okay.
Like that. Anyhow, he was supposed to fly out tomorrow for home, but he is sick with the flu and ear infection, and the doctor said he couldn't fly for 10 days, and so his mom said she appreciates prayers for healing. And then he's supposed to fly out on the 14th, but he only has a place to stay till the 8th. So he also needs prayer for a place to stay there because he doesn't have much money. I do know that. So, dear Heavenly Father, I'm lifting my cousin Mark up to you. You know his needs, and you know that he is sick, but that's by the demons, and that he can be healed, and he is healed, and we thank you, Lord, for healing him of his flu and the ear infection. So take those demons away from him and make him whole, Lord. And also, he needs a place to stay for several days while he's over there. So, Lord, thank you for finding a place for him to stay and bring him home safely on the 14th. And in this name, in your name, I ask. Thank you, Lord, so much for all that you do for everyone. God bless.
Amen. So, Father, we just put our faith together, and we just thank you that Mark is healed, and we give you the glory, Lord, and we just thank you for favor in his life. Just open doors, Lord, and just guide him, and we thank you for blessing him. Amen.
Thank you, Father. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. All right. Anybody else want to pray or have a prayer request or testimony?
Yeah, Tim.
Yes.
I think we ought to pray for that sister in Kentucky, is it? Or where is it that's in jail because she won't marry homosexuals? You know that one?
Yes. I think, somebody... I don't know if that was brought up last week.
Yeah,
somebody mentioned something about it, but yeah.
Well, she went to court today, and they threw her in jail, and they said she ain't going to come out until she marries homosexuals. And she said, sorry, I can't do that, so I'll be here a long time because I'm not going to marry no homosexuals, you know. And the sister's taking a stand. She's a real follower of the Lord. And I think, is her name Terry?
What do you want?
Her name is Kim, and she's only 4 years old or 4.5 years old in the Lord. And she's taking a stand, getting thrown in jail for this, and she's doing better than a lot of people are.
All right. Do you want to go ahead and pray for her, Michael?
Heavenly Father, we pray for Kim, Lord God. I pray that you would openly vindicate this woman. In Jesus' name, Lord, I pray you'd shake the world of the people that are forcing this down her throat, the judges and the prosecuting attorneys. I pray you'd shake their world and bring them to humility, Lord, for the arrogance and the pride against your holy name and against your righteous ways. And I pray you'd vindicate this sister, that you'd deliver her, Lord, from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. I pray you would do miracles to turn it around, Lord God, and to cause her, Lord, to come forth in righteousness, Lord. I pray you'd make this a public example, Lord God, in Jesus' name, and that you would put the fear of God in the adversaries of God in Jesus' name.
Amen. Lord, we just thank you for your angels camped around her, Lord, and just fill her full of your peace and joy. And if she's not baptized in the Holy Spirit, just baptize her in that Holy Spirit, Lord, and just comfort her. And, Lord, we just thank you for just blessing her, Lord, that you're just going to just allow her to, you know, just be led of you and to stand bold and not to cow down, to fear a man. We just bind that up now in the name of Jesus. And, Lord, just speak to her in her dreams and administer to her and bless her. And we thank you for her in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord. All right, anybody else have a testimony or a prayer request? Well, I was going to share a little bit more what happened as far as when I went up to Ohio. And I think the key point was is that when I went up there, I was just pressing into the Lord. I just got prayed up and just praying in the Spirit, I was just trying to keep my whole focus on the Lord and not think about the situation or anything like that, and just keep my eyes totally on the Lord. And I just wanted to be in the Spirit. My focus was just on being in the Spirit and just praising the Lord and just praying in the Spirit. And I was just in such an awesome place, and the time went so fast. And I only stopped once, and when I got up there, it was awesome. And even when the nurse came out and told me that I'd missed my mom, there was no real, I still had the joy of the Lord in me. There was no real sadness. That, I mean, it was a little bit of a letdown, but it didn't grip me or anything like that. It was like I knew that God was sovereign. I knew he had a purpose. And I think the nurse was kind of taken back a little bit, because I still had the smile on my face. And I said, well, let's where's she at? And I'd like to go see her. And I went into that room, I'd never been in a situation quite like that, where it was just, me and my, mom who had passed, and it was very quiet. And I mean, she just, she was kind of laying there and her mouth was open, her eyes were kind of a little bit open, and it was, she didn't, I don't know, it was just kind of a weird situation. And I was asking God, I was like, why am I here? And, I was like, am I supposed to raise her from the dead? Am I supposed to, you got to guide me. I'm just kind of, I was just like in such a good place with the Lord. And so I just started praying in the Spirit. I was just praying over her. I just put my hand on her and I was just praying in the Spirit and just trying to just be led of the Lord. And finally, I was like, all right, Lord, I need a word for my mom over this situation, just kind of a confirmation, because, I've been praying for her and believing for her. And, you know, I just need a word right now. And he gave me, I just opened up the word blindly by faith. And I put my finger down on Jeremiah 31:12. And it says, "And they shall come and sing in the heights of Zion, and shall flow unto the goodness of the Lord, to the grain, and to the new wine, and to the oil, and to the young of the flock, and the herd, and their soul shall be as a watered garden, and they shall not sorrow any more at all." And when I read that, it was just the joy of the Lord. It was just, you know, thank you. You know, Father, I'm just, you know, you're just so awesome. You know, because I really didn't know, you know, when I read the word and we talk about the fruits and all that, and, you know, I'm like, does she have any fruit? And I couldn't question that. All I could do is just, you know, pray and believe for her. And I knew that, I mean, my sisters were calling me up, and it was like every night they said that she wasn't going to make it through the night. I mean, just everything is, I mean, they've seen this and, you know, this, all these different reasons. And she lasted, I think, 8 or 10 days from the first night. They said she wasn't going to make it through the night, and the nurses couldn't explain it. They'd never seen anything like that. And and the other thing I really saw when I went into that nursing home was, I was there when I got ready to leave, the nurses came up, you know, to my sister and myself, and all these nurses absolutely loved my mom. I mean, they absolutely loved her, and they were sharing how they used to kind of fight over the schedule to get her room, and they just loved her. But she had a hardness on her a little bit. I mean, she was like very direct, but in the same way, she had a sense of humor, and, you know, she was, people just loved her. And so they were all kind of teared up and crying. And, you know, it was just kind of a, you know, neat thing when we ended up, you know, leaving there. But when I was in that room, I knew there was a purpose. I knew that I was up there and there was a purpose. And I knew I needed to be there for my sister. But my cousin called me, and he was the first one I talked to, and he said, "I'm going to be there in a few minutes. I'm on my way." And I told him, I said, "Hey, Gary, mom's passed," you know, and it was dead silence, and he didn't say much. I mean, he didn't say anything, actually. It was just dead silence. And then finally he said, "I'll be there." And when he came in, he was drinking. He looked 10 years older than when I saw him previous to that, which was, you know, probably less than a year. He just looked old. He looked gray. He had a little bit of just the way he was walking, he was just like walking like an old man, and I think he's a year or two older than me. And he just looked so beat up and just didn't look anything like the man I knew, because he was just a big, burly type guy. But in the last 2 years, I mean, like last year, he ended up, you know, finding his mom in bed, and she was kind of in a pool of blood, and she was bleeding internally, and his brother was actually home with his mom, and he kind of just left his mom in there because he was messed up on drugs and alcohol, and here his mom's dying, you know, in her bed, and you know he's not doing anything about it, and you know, this is my cousin ended up coming in here and finding his mom like that, and then she ended up dying a couple days later, and then he got in a big fight with his brother over it, and his brother took off and went to Mexico, and he ended up dying in a hotel room in Mexico, and my cousin got a call from, you know, the officials, and he had to figure out how to get him back, you know, to the United States and all that. And both my aunt and, you know, his brother, they both died of alcohol-related, you know, issues. They were just, you know, it's just the curse. And then this year he ended up he'd gone through a divorce a couple of years back, and his wife had spent there was $60,000 or $80,000 in credit card bills that he didn't even know about that she was hiding, and he ended up getting a call one day from a collection agency, and he started looking into it, and there was, I forget what it was, I think it was around $80,000 in credit card bills he didn't even know about. And through that, it was all hidden in that, and he ended up getting a divorce. And then he ended up going to a wedding one day, and it was the husband of his childhood sweetheart, and passed away. And after that, they, you know, started dating, and the next thing they're going to get married, and I mean it was like the happiest time. I mean it was just somebody, he always loved this woman, and they got married, and his sister who lived in Texas flew in, and nobody knew this, but when she got off the plane and my sister picked her up, and my sister didn't even recognize her, and she's younger than me. And my sister told me that she looked older than my mom, who was 82 years old. She said she looked like she was like 90 years old. And I think she was, you know, around 50. And she was yellow from her liver shutting down. And she showed up at this, at my cousin's wedding. And I didn't end up going to the wedding. I mean, I didn't even really ask the Lord, only because I just knew it was just going to be a drunken brawl. And I just, at that time, did not want to, you know, I just didn't feel that I wanted to, deal with that whole thing. So I really didn't know the situation my cousin was in. Nobody told me that. And she ended up going back to Texas and ended up in a, she was told if she continued to drink, it would kill her. And she ended up, you know, in a coma, and my cousin ran down to see his sister, and she ended up, you know, dying a couple days later, and he was, he goes into her room, and she's got a shrine built to her mom, and he just saw that when her mom died, that was it. She started drinking, and it just took her out. You know, the enemy just took her out. So he pretty much, you know, dealt with that, and then right after that, his wife that he just married got diagnosed with lung cancer, and they'd seen some doctors, and they were going to give her, you know, 4 or 5 years or something. I don't know what the whole plan was, but they had all this hope, and during that time, I had asked him, can I talk to Jill and pray with her? And, you know, he informed me that they're Catholic and that, you know, he doesn't want me preaching to her or anything like that. But I could pray for her. But, he didn't want me to talk to her. And I just asked, I said, well, just, you know, if Lord puts on your heart to let her call me, I'd like to pray with her. And I never got a call. We did pray on the conference calls, and I'd gotten a text from him, and it was pretty cool because she went in, she was supposed to she had one issue, she had some spots on her brain or something like that, and they wanted to go in and take care of that first, And they went in, and it wasn't there. And he had texted me and said, hey, keep praying. You know, Jill went in, and they couldn't find anything in her brain. And, you know, that was a, you know, praise report. But then they went right back the next week, and she went in for one treatment and ended up dying like 2 days later. And I think they were only married maybe 6 months. And, you know, so that really rocked his boat. And at that point, I went up there for the funeral to be there with him. And, I mean, he was just, I walked in the room and he said, I'm angry at your God. I don't want to hear about your God. I mean, he was just blasting God and just angry. And all I could do is just sit there and just listen to him. And I knew that I couldn't, you know, bring anything forward. All I could do is pray. And that's all I did, is I just was there for him. I was there I was there at the funeral. I just tried to be a servant. I just tried to be a light, just tried to be a servant. I stayed at his house before I left. I mean, I cleaned his kitchen. I just basically cleaned up his house, and I snuck out in the, you know, early morning. And then I was just there, you know, during the funeral and just tried to serve and do whatever I could and just be a light. And so then I shared a little bit that he did not want to see my mom because he's right now he's on anxiety medication from his wife, and he just said, I can't see another sick and dying person. And the Lord orchestrated for him to see my mom, and I kind of shared that testimony of how that happened. And my sister said he walked out of there with a smile on his face. And I thought she said it was just an awesome time. And they just talked about old times for a half hour, 45 minutes. And she said my mom had total clarity. But I really saw where the Lord used my mom in that point to minister to my cousin. And my mom was only home for a day. And then the next day she was in agony and pain. And they ended up taking her back to hospice, and she just, you know, they were giving her pain meds and nothing was doing anything. And they called out to me to pray, which I thought was awesome because that came from my Catholic sister. And we prayed again, you know, in the assembly and in the conference call here. And I get a text back saying, keep praying, because, I mean, mom's doing great. And the next day, she was coherent. She was awake. I mean, the family I called, there was just so much joy and just things happening. And there was just so much peace there. And they were just giving the glory to God. And I just thought it was awesome. And then it was like the following day, my mom kind of went into a, you know, kind of unconsciousness. And that's when they said that she's not going to make it through the night. And it kept, you know, going on for 8 or 10 days. And my sisters ended up camping out at the hospice. They were there pretty much most of the time. And I found out that my one sister had asked me, you know, I went up there once, and she opened up and we had a Bible study together. And then she asked me to get her a Bible. And I knew she never opened up that Bible. But during this whole 8 or 10 days, I find out that she was talking to my mom about unforgiveness, about repentance, about getting her heart right. My sister was in the little chapel at the hospice center, reading her Bible and crying out to the Lord. And, you know, and she was just trying to search, why aren't you taking mom? And I mean, she was reading the word and crying out to the Lord and praying. She said, all I was doing was praying and praying to the Lord. And I saw through this tribulation that my mom was going through, or this time that my mom was going through, it was causing my sister to get into the word and get into prayer and talk to my mom about, you know, unforgiveness and all these things. And I never knew all this was going on. And even when I went into her house to stay there, I saw that the Bible was out. So it was like, wow, Lord, you're doing something here. So we ended up that night, when he came in, all I could do was sit there and listen again. And it was the same situation when his wife passed away. And he looked at my mom and he said, man, that reminds me of Jill. I don't know if I can handle this. And so I just encouraged him and I said, you know, Gary, that's just a vessel right there. Mom's gone. And her spirit, her soul is gone. That's just her flesh. And that's not Mom. And so I shared with him that Mom is in heaven. And I shared the scripture that I got. And I said, God gave me that as a confirmation. And so he just kind of poured out, and I could just see the anger. I could see the rage. I could see the unforgiveness. I could see the spirit of murder. I could see just all these spirits on him. And I was just praying to the Lord, Lord, I just, you know, you're going to have to do this. I can't. You're going to have to open up this door because he is so angry. You're going to have to give him a heart of flesh. So I was there for him, and then my sister came in, and I was there for her. But we just locked eyes, and I was concerned about her because I thought she was going to take this like my cousin took it with her mom going, because my mom and her were so close, and I just was an anchor for her, and she was great. I mean, she really did. I mean, she was just really grounded, and, you know, we just... you know, visited with my mom a little while and then said, let's go to breakfast. And we ended up going out to breakfast. And all I was trying to do, all I could do is pray. I mean, it was just, I was just trying to be a light and all I could really do is pray, but I really couldn't say much. And I knew that I was in such a good place spiritually that I was just praying in the spirit. I was seeing things, I was finding up spirits and just trying to see what the Lord was showing me. And we're sitting there and we're in a Waffle House at 2-3 o'clock in the morning and we had a waiter and a manager and we just started talking to them and it turns out this one waiter was a college professor and he worked out in the gym and he had a night job of being a bouncer at a club to make some extra money. And he shared all this and basically something happened and he ended up getting too rough with somebody. And he ended up, because of that, he ended up going to jail. And because of that jail sentence, he lost his job at the college. And his whole life just, you know, came down. But he was relating to my cousin and just how he just snapped at that point and this anger and rage and all these things started coming out. And then my cousin sharing with him how he got in a fight with somebody at his college reunion and he just wanted to kill this guy. And I just saw that spirit of murder on him, and I just saw, man, the enemy is just out to destroy him because this really isn't who he is. He's got a big old heart. But because of the unforgiveness, he's turned over to all these tormenting spirits, and he's dealing with all this stuff that he's going to be like this until he pays the last farthing. So... It's breaking my heart seeing this, but this guy's talking and then the other waiter comes over and his parents are, you know, both doctors at the Cleveland Clinic and they're basically millionaires. He doesn't have to work anything like that. But because of that and, you know, them working and never being around, he started doing acid when he was 14 years old. And he was just, he basically fried his brain, you know, before he was old enough to drive. And because of that, he's probably in his early 30s, and he's still having flashbacks, and he's still dealing with, you know, the repercussions of what he did when he was, you know, 14, 15 years old, 16 years old. And my heart was just pouring out to these guys. And this professor started to recite the, whatever the Catholic, you know, I don't know what it is, but the Mass. He starts reciting this whole Mass in Latin. He's like, I know the whole Mass. And I'm thinking, you know, he knows the Mass, but he's still bound up with all these demons. And I'm seeing this young guy that, you know, just, you know, just through the drugs and all that. I mean, I really like these guys, but I just saw where the world has just totally destroyed these people. And they're both proclaiming, you know, God. You know, the younger guy went through AA, and, you know, he's confessing God. And the other guy's, confessing whatever the Catholic is, and, you know, just sharing the Mass in Latin and all this stuff. And it's like, wow. And they're still cussing and swearing, and, you know, but they're going, they know God the way they are. And it's like, wow. And I just, my heart was, I wanted to pray for these guys. I wanted to speak some truth to them, but I was in a point where I couldn't do that. And I don't think it was fear of man. I just needed to be weak at that point. So I just, like, all I could do is pray for those guys and bind up those spirits and pray for their salvation. So the whole time that my cousin and my sister are talking, I'm just in spiritual warfare. And it was awesome. I was like, man, this is what we're called to do, is be in spiritual warfare. And I can't, you know, you can't get into judgment. I mean, the people out there are so lost. I see the curse taken out. My family, my sister, my whole family's being taken out of the curse. I see these people being taken out by the curse. And, you know, so I'm just praying for them. And so we leave there. And I'm sleeping on the couch, and I only got like two hours sleep. I woke up like 4:30 in the morning, and I just started praying, and I was just praying. And then I got into my e-sword. I'm just looking up the curse. I'm just reading about the curse and the scriptures on the curse. And I was like, man, this is just devouring my family. And I'm crying out to the Lord. I says, Lord, you got to do this. You got to open up the doors, because, you've got to do it, because they're not receptive to me. I felt like Jesus going to his hometown. And, I said, without you doing it, I can't do it. So I was at a total place of weakness and just praying and crying out and that. And about 8 o'clock, my phone rings. It's my other sister, not my younger one, but my middle sister. And she says, hey, can we go to breakfast or go get a cup of coffee? I want, you know, like to see you. And I said, yeah. So I met her. I, you know, got dressed right away and ran out, and we met at Starbucks. And I let her talk for a little bit. And she looked at me and she said, you got a peace on you. And I said, yeah. I said, I'm in a real good place. And she said, you're doing all right? I said, man, I'm doing amazing. And so she's like, well, what's up? And I said, you know what? I said, I feel like an undercover agent. I said, you don't even know who I really am. You really don't know me. You don't know the life I live. You don't know what I do in Tennessee. You really don't know. I got a whole different life that you don't even know about. And I said, I just kind of started off like that. And I said, and I shared with her, you know, I said, I truly believe in my heart that I should have been the one being buried before anybody else in this family. I said, I was so lost. I was so addicted to drugs and so addicted to alcohol that I knew in my heart that I should be dead. And I was out in the middle of the ocean drowning and didn't know what to do. And the Lord saved me. He put a pastor in my life that prayed for me. It freaked me out. He put other people in my life. I started seeing miracles, and I shared with her, you know, as far as praying for the person and seeing their leg grow out. I said I was seeing miracles. The spiritual realm came alive, and I told her, I said, there is demons, and there is angels, and demons are real. And the Lord opened my eyes, and I said, the Bible talks about casting out demons, and I started casting out demons. And she's just looking at me, and I said, but I don't know why the Lord chose me. I says, I'm nobody, you know, but he did this for me. I don't even know why. And so I just started sharing it. And she just saw my heart. And I said, I see these demons, and I see the curse, and just destroying my whole family. And they don't even know they're sick. They think this is all normal. And I said, none of this is normal. I said, what you see going on with, you know, everything that's happening in our family and everything that's going on, I said, this is not normal. It doesn't have to be this way. And I said that, you know, the word says, my people perish for lack of knowledge. I said, it's my people. It's people that claim to be Christians. My people I said, not everybody is called. But you claim to, you know, to be a Christian. I mean, the whole family claims to be a Christian. And they're all dying. They're all being taken advantage of, the curse they're under, you know, and you see it all going on, and you just think this is all normal. And I said, I'm telling you, this is not normal. So I just started sharing with her as far as what God has done in my life and how he rescued me out of there and just the miracles that I've seen. And I said, I'm hanging with some amazing people. I mean, the people that are my friends now, I mean, they walk in miracles. I mean, they walk by faith. There's just testimonies all the time. I shared about the conference call. We got people from, you know, just throughout the United States just come together, and we pray for each other, and we have testimonies, and we see God working. We see the power of God. And, you know, I shared, you know, some of the things like, you know, praying, you know, for the brother that was going to lose his house to a forest fire, and you know, God showed up, and we see this all the time, and it's just, you know, we've just got amazing testimonies, and that's just, it's an everyday thing, and it's, and I started sharing some things as far as, you know, just healings and just, you know, all different testimonies that we've had in this conference call and all different testimonies that I've seen in the fellowship and my sister sat there and she was like, she was taking it in. She was listening to me. And so It was just an awesome meeting, and the Lord opened up the door for that. And then we ended up leaving there, and we went to the funeral home. And we, you know, I wasn't going to go, but I was told I had to sign off because we were going to have my mom cremated. And so I was there, and I was just being an anchor, and they, you know, I just let them do it. I just, you know, when they turned to me, I said, okay, you know, I gave them, you know, what I thought or whatever, but I let them handle it. And part of that was that we had to identify my mom's body, and my sisters didn't want to do that, and they wanted me to do that. I said, okay, I'll do that. And so when that time came, we went to the room that where they had my mom, and they let us know that, you know, they just have a blanket over her, and she's just on a gurney, you know, type thing. And so I was going to go in, and then my older sister said, you know what, I'll go in with you if you go in. And I said, yeah. I said, come on. I said, it's just the body. Mom's gone. Her spirit, her soul is gone. It's just a shell. And so we went in there, and we looked at my mom, and they had closed her mouth and closed her eyes. And the next thing you know, my little sister comes in behind us, and we're looking at my mom, and she looked so peaceful. And we looked at her, and she didn't have wrinkles. Her skin was like so smooth. And my sister made a comment to the lady at the funeral home. She says, wow, whoever did this makeup did an amazing job. And she said, well, we didn't do any makeup. She's being cremated. We haven't done anything. And they were just in amazement, because there was no wrinkles in my mom's face. It just didn't even look like her. And so it was just an opportunity, because I really saw it. This is the first time in my mom's life where she is actually in peace and joy. All her life, she grew up in a dysfunctional family. Her father beat her mother. There were alcoholics. He lost her father, basically put him in bankruptcy at the track, gambling. They ended up in divorce. Her mom was a very bitter, angry woman. And that spirit of bitterness came down through my mom. My mom was very bitter. But the thing was, is when she was laying there, she'd been divorced from my dad for, I don't even know how long, probably 15, 20 years. And she still had her wedding ring on. And on her other hand, she was wearing my dad's wedding ring. And I pointed out to my sisters, I said, look. She's got her wedding ring and Dad's wedding ring. They said, yeah, we know. And I said, see, she loved Dad, and Dad loved her. They adored each other. Dad was probably the first bright light in her life coming out of that family. And they got into life, and because of the demons, they didn't know how to get along. But they both loved each other. And look at Mom now. You know, she's in peace now. She's been tormented most of her life by these demons, by unforgiveness and anger and bitterness. And I shared with them, I said, these curses go down through the generation, and I got that spirit of bitterness, and I had that spirit of anger, and I used to punch walls and destroy things, and I was very critical, and I said, the Lord set me free from those demons. I said, I inherited that from Mom. And, you know, they were just kind of looking at me, and at that point, I said, she's in heaven right now with Dad. And I said, this is how I know. And I shared that scripture that the Lord gave me. And I said, that's a confirmation. Mount Zion is the promised land. That is heaven. And he says, you know, there's going to be, you know, no more crying, no more tears, no more mourning. I mean, she's free. And I shared with them that when my father had Alzheimer's, that was a generational curse, because his mother had mental issues. They were more of a solid family, but she had mental issues. And it was just, I said, that's just a demon. And I said, at the time I was in the church, and I didn't have the fullness because I was under another doctrine. And I know now that it was a demon that was on Dad, and all I could do is pray for him. And I asked the Lord for a confirmation, and I went in to the nursing home to see him. And I walked in, and he had his hands together up to him like a little kid praying. And that was my confirmation, because I knew that he started to go to church when he started to get sick. But I didn't know if, you know, if he had accepted Christ or anything like that, because, you know, by the time I was in the church and that, his, you know, he had Alzheimer's. But that was my confirmation from the Lord, because I was praying that on the way to the nursing home. And when I walked in, he was laying there like a little kid praying. And I was like, thank you, Lord. And that was my confirmation that my dad is ill. So Mom and Dad are together in heaven right now. So they just started bawling. And it was like, it was just such a good time. But I was able to administer to them and share truth with them. And it was really good. So then I ended up leaving there, and I ended up I tried to set up lunch with my cousin. He kind of delayed it, and it all worked out. I mean, it was God orchestrated it, because we got delayed. I had to go to the nursing or the funeral home. So we ended up, we're going to meet for dinner. And so I get to the restaurant, and he's sitting at the bar, and he's got a cocktail in front of him. And I was praying on the way there, Lord, you're going to have to soften his heart. You're going to have to do something here. So I went in, I saw him sitting there drinking a cocktail, and it was like, I said, hey, Gary, can we go sit at a table? I said, I don't want to sit at the bar. He's like, yeah, sure, we can sit at the table. So we went and sat at a table, and the waitress came over and said, you know, can I get you something to drink? And I said, yeah, I'd like a soda water with a lime. And she turned to my cousin, and he looked at me, and he stared at me for about 30 seconds to a minute. I could just see him staring at me. And he turned to the waitress. He said, I'll have the same thing. I'll have a soda water with a lime. And I was just praising the Lord. It was like, because I bound up that spirit of, you know, of addiction and that alcoholic spirit and all that before I went in there. And so I sat there, and he started with his unforgiveness and his anger and his bitterness. And, you know, he was going off on he's got a nephew, you know, from his brother, and he offered him a job, and he didn't show up, and he didn't call him. And, you know, he's all upset with him and that. And I said, hey, Gary, I said, your nephew never had a father figure. I said, look at your brother. I said, he was never around. You know, they ended up divorcing. He was just, I mean, he would terrorize this little kid, you know, when he was a kid. He would, you know, tie his socks together. And, I mean, he would just do crazy stuff because he was crazy. I said, he never had a dad. And you remind him a lot of his dad. And he's probably uncomfortable around you. And he said, you know, he was all upset because, you know, after he didn't show up for the job, he called up and says, hey, do you want to go fishing one day? And I said, Gary, he's reaching out to you. He doesn't know what to do. He doesn't have a father figure. I said, you need to forgive him. You need to be an uncle to him. And he was like, yeah, you're right. You know, and it was, that was my lead in. I said, Gary, I got something to say to you. And there was just this boldness. It was like, I've got something to say to you, and I want to share some things that are going on in my life, where I was and where I'm at now and what I'm doing in Tennessee. And I said, I want to share some things about your life, what I see going on in your life right now. And I said, I'm not going to preach to you, but I am going to mention God. And I said, if you don't want me to share this, then you need to let me know now, and I won't share it. but I'd like to speak to you. I said, are you willing? Because I don't want to waste my time. And he just kind of looked at me, and he thought a little bit, and he said, all right, I want you to share. So I kind of basically started out like I did with my sister. And then I, you know, shared kind of the same type of things with him as far as what God has done. And I shared with him as far as what I really believe that I would have been dead before anybody. And, you know, and they all had a hard time believing that, but I just knew that if the Lord didn't come into my life, I wouldn't be here right now. I just know that in my heart. So I shared that with them, and I just kind of went through the whole, you know, thing I shared with my sister and that. And then I got to him, and I said, Gary, I said, you're full of anger and bitterness and murder and just, I mean, you got all these spirits on you, lust. I said, all you're doing is sitting here looking at the girls in the place and the waitresses and all that. I said, I'm trying to talk to you. I said, you got all these demons on you. And Gary, I said, these demons, what I shared with you, are real. And I said, the reason you've got all these demons on you is because you've been turned over. God has turned you over to these demons because of your unforgiveness. How you're speaking about your nephew, how you're speaking about the guys at work and the customers that screwed you out of money and all this stuff. I said, you've got so much anger. And I said, and you almost killed somebody. And what would happen to your company if you would have killed that guy, if you would have ended up in jail like that waiter we had the other night? And he just sat there and stared at me, and I could see his brain turning and all that. I said, Gary, these are all demons. This is not you. You've got a big old heart. I said, you've been taken over by demons because of unforgiveness. I said, if you think that you're going to heaven because you're a Catholic, the word says that if you do not forgive, you are not forgiven. And I don't care if you're a Catholic, I don't care who you are not going to heaven. I said, that is why my mom has spent the last year in her situation, because the Lord had to work on her, and he gave her grace and mercy. But he had to put her through the last year, put her in a total humble position where she needed my sister taking care of her, all of that. And even the last 8 days, he was still working on her. And he didn't take her until she was right with him. You know, I don't know how he did it, but he must have been giving her dreams or speaking to her or whatever it was. But I got confirmation that she's with him. And I said, if you died right now, there's no way you're going to end up in heaven. And you don't want to even think about where you would end up, you know. So I said, have you ever read any bit of the Bible? And he confessed he hadn't. I said, you're confessing to be a Christian, you're confessing to be a Catholic, and you've never read the Bible. I said, I challenge you to just read one verse or one chapter. I said, Matthew, Mark, Luke, one of the first chapters of the New Testament. Just read one chapter. And before you read it, I ask you to pray and ask God to open up your eyes, open up your heart, and to speak to you through that chapter. That's the only thing I'm challenging. I'm not telling you to go to church. I said, I don't believe in churches. I said, and he piped up and he said, well, yeah, I believe in God, but I don't believe in churches. I said, there's some good churches out there, but most of the churches out there aren't teaching the Word of God. And that was the only time he piped up, and he says, yeah, I can agree with that. And I said, God wants you just reading his word. He wrote it for, you know, for you. And you haven't even read it. And it says, my people perish for lack of knowledge. And you haven't even read his word. You're trusting in some man. Most of the guys out there preaching the word are deceived. How do you know he's not deceived unless you read it yourself? And he just kind of thought about that. So I basically said, you know what? I basically said what I needed to say. I said, right now, the ball is in your court. I'm not going to preach to you. I'm not going to mention anything else. I said, you need to make a decision of what you're going to do. And I told him I loved him. And he told me he loved me. And I said, this is all real. It's in your court. We hugged, we left, and I ended up leaving there, and I went to my sister's house, and my younger sister at this point, her husband's a total alcoholic. Every time I see him, he's pretty much drunk, so they were over at a neighbor's house, and he introduced me to their neighbor and so we ended up, it was kind of neat because I was over there and it was like, I just started praying, binding up spirits, spiritual warfare. They finally, it was like, you know, we're going to head back home. And we went back home and I went and sat at the kitchen table and my sister came in and sat down, and then her husband came in and sat down, and they wanted to know how Gary's doing, my cousin. And I said to him, he's not doing good. I said, I kind of shared with him a lot, and he's got some choices to make, but I shared with him my testimony of, you know, where I came from, where I'm at now, and I shared with him what I see is going on in him, and, you know, a lot of different things. I said, I think it went good, but I really don't know, because he really didn't say anything. And I told my sister, you just got to pray for him. And all of a sudden, her husband says, what do you mean you shared him your testimony? What's a testimony? And I said, well, it's really what the Lord has done in my life. And it's been pretty amazing. And he said, I want to hear your testimony. And I was blown away. I was like, the door was like wide open. So I sat up there for 3 hours. Sharing my testimony with them, and it was like amazing. And I mean, he's asking questions, and you know, it was like, you know, there was like, I could see the enemy kind of coming in, and you know, because I shared some other people's testimonies, my sister had said something, and I shared a testimony of Michael Harris. I shared a testimony of David's. I've shared, you know, different people's testimonies of some of the people I'm just associating with. And it's just amazing. And, you know, I share these and it's like, well, how do you know that they're telling the truth? Because that's hard to believe that these things have happened, you know? And I said, because they're men of God and liars go to hell. And they just like, you know, it was just awesome. So they were like, it was just awesome. They just were asking questions, and he was so open. I was just sharing what the word says. I was sharing about unforgiveness. I was sharing about deliverance. I was sharing how I was delivered from, you know, alcohol. And you know, he's an alcoholic. How the Lord set me free in just one instant. I had no desire, and it was what I needed. That's what I was calling out for.
And he sat there and he professed that he talks to God. And I found out that he came from a Catholic family. I didn't even know that. So I just was, I was just like in awe of how the Lord, you know, operated. And I talked to them till about, I don't know, it was like 10:30 at night. And I was like, hey guys, I'm going to leave early in the morning. And I ended up just crashing out and got up early, and I was back on the road coming home, and I was like amazed. I mean, I was in Ohio. I don't even know. It was just, it was really like one day, and what the Lord did was just total amazement. Just opened the door, and I just saw where I just had to be a willing, I couldn't have an agenda. I couldn't have anything like that. All I could do is pray. All I could do is just, you know, just bind up spirits and just let the Lord do it. And it was just amazing at the doors he opened up. And I want to share one thing. I just have to find this real quick. Tonight, I hadn't heard anything from my cousin since I talked to him. And this just came in about a couple hours ago. And it says, this is what he wrote. He says, so who wrote the book? Who printed it? What is the name? And where do I get it? I don't want to be reading something wrong or that has wrong material, Gary. So he texted me a couple hours ago and is looking for a Bible. He wants to know what Bible to get. So God's working on him. So let's pray for him. So Father, I just thank you for just working in his heart, Lord, and giving him the desire to seek after you. And Lord, I just ask you, I just bind up the enemy from any distractions or anything as far as him, you know, to distract him from getting a Bible. And Lord, I just ask you, just put that hunger in him, Lord, and that you open up his eyes, that when he starts reading, that you just speak to him through that word, that you just speak to his heart, that you just put truth in him. And just we just thank you for just granting him repentance, granting him a changed mind, a renewed mind. Lord, we just pray for his true salvation, that you're going to set him free, that he's going to see the truth, and the truth is going to set him free. We thank you for opening up communication between him and I, that he will, that he will just call and feel comfortable to call me or ask questions or anything like that, Lord. And we just, you are just such an awesome Father. You're just such an awesome Father. We thank you for working in him. And Lord, we just thank you for his salvation. And thank you for my sister Kelly and her husband, Jeff. Just putting in their heart to want to hear my testimony, just giving me the boldness and just to speak what I know you wanted me to speak. And I thank you for working in them. And Lord, right now I just come against the spirit of nicotine in them, and the spirit of alcohol, and the spirit of addiction. And I just bind up those spirits. I ask that you just start making those cigarettes just taste terrible. And then you just put a conviction in them over their drinking. That you just take that away from them, Lord. And just draw them onto you, Lord. And Lord, I just pray for my middle sister and her husband that are, you know, going to the Catholic Church. And Lord, I just ask you, I just bind up that spirit on them. And I thank you. I just ask you these seeds that were planted in my sister, that you just water those seeds, that you give them a hunger for truth. If they don't have a Bible, you give them a hunger to read the Word and come into the fullness of you. And Lord, we don't know what the days that are coming entail, but Lord, but I just ask you, just put your angels around them. And you just keep them, Lord, and just guide them and speak to them. We thank you in Jesus' name. The other awesome thing is, on top of everything I shared, I was able to share with all of them that the day is coming where in an instant, everything you think is normal right now is going to change. And it's going to happen in an instant. And the economy is going to fail. All the things you think are important aren't going to be important anymore. And I shared with them that we have a lot of dreamers. There's people of prophecy. They get words from the Lord, visions from the Lord. He's speaking to his people, and this judgment is coming, and the judgment's coming first to the church because they've fallen away from him. They've fallen into apostasy. But the day's coming. I don't know if it's next month. I don't know if it's next year. I don't know if it's 5 years from now. You know, that's up to the Lord. But I know it's coming, and I told them all that. I said, I'm going to be praying for you. I'm going to pray that the Lord speaks to you. He may speak to you in a dream. He might speak to you in a vision. He might speak to you audible. I don't know. He might just speak to your heart. But if he tells you to go somewhere, you need to go. You need to leave all your stuff behind because it isn't going to matter. You're going to have, you know, he'll give you a chance. I said, you need to pray that you're in his will, and you need to pray for his protection. But when the Lord speaks to you, he might send you an angel. I don't know. But when he does it, you're not going to have much time. You need to do whatever he tells you to do, and don't worry about your stuff. Don't worry about your cars and, you know, whatever. Just do what he tells you to do. And that's the seed I planted. And they were very receptive to that too. So it was awesome. It was, you know, it was the Lord. I wouldn't have been able to do that in the past. But he worked on my mom, and then through my mom, he worked on their hearts, and he prepared this whole situation. I went when he told me to go. At first, it didn't make sense. When I drove home, I was praising him most of the way. It was awesome. So just keep praying for your family members. Just keep believing. And, you know, the thing is if it takes them being on their deathbed, accepting the Lord, what does it matter if they end up in the kingdom? You know, we want them all saved now and that, but it might be like my mom, you know, on their deathbed. But we just got to keep praying for them, believing for them. And as long as they get in the kingdom, it doesn't matter the timing. I know Belinda's husband, I mean, it was in the last minutes. He talked to David, and after that he knew he was going. And he went. So it doesn't matter when, just as long as they get there. But we got to get out of works. We got to get out of our anxieties and fears. because we just got to pray it, believe it. And don't go by what we see or what we hear from them. We just know it's going to be in God's timing, and it could be at the very last minute. So that's what I wanted to share. So I just, if anybody else has got any comments or wants to pray for their family or any thoughts, please bring it forward.
Well, thank you, Tim.
Awesome. Go ahead, Malcolm.
Yeah, that's all I was going to say. Just thank you.
Okay.
Yeah.
I just...
That's an awesome testimony, Tim, of God's grace and His mercy on our life, taking people in the last days of their life. Boy, that is awesome. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord, that you've got grace and you're giving it out wholesale. I'm telling you, the Lord has done it. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Yeah, I was really saying with my mom that, I mean, if we need to be tribulated, I mean, the last year that she had, I mean, she was pretty much in a very humble place. And having my sister take care of her, and I mean, just she was. It was just I saw that as I mean, sort of like what the Lord did with me with my leg. I mean, He needs to get our focus off our routine that we are in, and bring us to a place where He can get our attention and talk to us and administer to us, or put us in a place where we're crying out to Him. And I don't know what transpired, but I just saw that this whole situation with my mom, because the nurses, they just, none of it made sense. I mean, just, they just, even she started gaining weight, and I mean, just all these things. I'd get these reports back, and it was like, you know, just none of this is lining up with how it should be. I mean, she had lung cancer, and I mean, it just didn't line up. But the Lord prolonged her life and put her in this situation, and I just knew He was working on her heart because of my prayer that He wasn't going to take her before her heart was right. And she had a lot of pent up, you know, unforgiveness, bitterness, and all that, and He had mercy on her. It was just awesome. So, but not only that, He just used it to work in the rest of the family. And He's no respecter. I mean, He can do the same thing in your family. So, it was just kind of a neat thing. We just got to get ourselves out of the way, just get prayed up and believe, and just let Him do it. So we tend to want to get Him saved or preach to Him or whatever it is, but if the Lord doesn't open the door, if He doesn't change their hearts, if he's got to change your heart to receive first. And it might be, you know, bringing them to a point of weakness like my cousin. So, but He's got to, if He doesn't change your heart, if He doesn't, you know, do that, then we're just in works. So, sometimes we just got to see what our motives are. So, all right. Anybody else have some revelation, some things that's around their heart, anything they want to bring forward?
Hello?
Hello. Hey, Andrew.
Hey. I just recently I'm asking for some prayer because my daughter came on the weekend to my place. I'm just going to remind everyone that I'm divorced. And I've been praying for her quite a bit, and I found out that she's going to a church now. And this is a non-denominational church. I forget what she said, how they believe there or whatever, but this is a new experience for her. And you know, she had some boyfriends in the past, but she's got a boyfriend there at this church now. And his name is Zachariah. And he seems very enamored with that. And I would just like prayer about that. And I was kind of excited that she would go to that extent and go to church, you know, being that she lives mostly at her mom's now, who remarried, and they sort of earn Catholic again. I don't know whether my ex-wife sort of thinks about that, or, you know, because we're very involved in several denominations that I went through. And I just don't know how to feel about this. You know, I don't know whether I should be excited, but she is at least in a church somewhere. And as for having a boyfriend there, you know, she didn't talk much about him, and I'm happier, and I just would ask for guidance from the Lord on this, and for Him to lead me, and not to to push on this, and you know, just to help me with being a father, a good father to my children. And in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And
Amen.
I'd appreciate it if there would be prayer for me and for my situation anyway.
Well, what's your daughter's name?
Megan. I actually...
Megan?
Megan, yeah. I came and I asked for prayer a long time ago about this because she was involved with some people when she was back in high school that really weren't very good people, and like boyfriends. And now she's, I guess, would be a good one compared to all the other ones, you know. And she told me more about the church, and I still have to remember the title of the church, and maybe look up on the internet to see if there's anything there. But it's
right
over in Rockland anyway, so it's up here in Canada, in Ottawa area. Anyway, and well, that's basically it. And
well, it sounds like you know, I mean, it's just that as far as at this point of her life, you know, I think that we just need to pray that the Lord will just give her a hunger for the Word, open her eyes to any deception, give her the boldness to, you know, come out of that. But if you say that she was hanging with some bad news guys in the past, and now, you know, she's... you know, her boyfriend is named Zachariah, and I mean, even though it's a non-denominational church, it's better than, yeah, you know, I guess, you know, the Catholic. I mean, it sounds like it's more of an answer prayer, but it sounds like the Lord is working. So it's just a matter of just staying in prayer, and then, you know, when she that she'll be shown the truth when it's time to come out of her. So maybe she needs that, and this, you know, coming out of the Catholic, she needs this church. You know, like David said, it's kind of a playpen, so we'll, you know, we'll grow enough to crawl over the bars, and that, you know, that she doesn't get, you know, stuck in this. That, you know, that she'll be challenged to get into the Word, that she won't fall into apostasy or prosperity or anything like that. So let's just pray. So, Father, right now we just thank you for Megan, Lord. We just thank you for just working in her. We thank you for answering Andrew's prayers. And Lord, his heart is that she'll come into the fullness of you, that she'll come into your truths, that she'll, you know, just want to run after you and be in your will, Lord. And Father, we just thank you, Lord, for just, you know, what you're doing in her life. We thank you for just opening her spiritual eyes, Lord. Father, just open her eyes to any deception. Give her a hunger for the Word. Just allow her to press into the Word and see if things don't line up with the Word as far as in this church. And Lord, just keep her there long enough to grow her up. And Lord, when it comes time to move her out, Lord, just open up her eyes, Lord. Allow her to see anything that, you know, why she needs to come out, and give her the boldness to move on what she is seeing. And Lord, if this Zachariah is supposed to be in her life, Lord, just bless them. And if that's the man that you've chosen for, just for her, Lord, we just ask you just bless that situation, Lord. You don't allow the enemy to tear it apart. But if, Lord, if he is not the man that you have chosen for her, we just ask that you just close doors, that you just, that you just bring a separation. So, Lord, we just pray for a godly man, that for Megan, one that that's running after you, that wants to be in obedience to you, in obedience to your word. And Lord, if his motives aren't right, we ask you just if he's not right for her, we ask you to just break that up, Lord. And Lord, if he's the man, we just ask you bless him. You give him a hunger for truth, hunger for the word, hunger to be the head, a godly head. And we just thank you for filling him full of your truth, Lord, and working in his heart and blessing him. We just thank you for that. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Hey, Tim, Andrew, can I pray for you?
Sure thing.
Yeah. Lord, I lift up Andrew to you, Father, in this situation with his daughter. And I ask, Lord, that you give him great wisdom, Lord, wisdom to know that you're the one that's in charge. You're orchestrating this whole thing. And that, Lord, you would just place a rest around his heart to know that it's fine, everything's fine because you're handling it. And all he needs to do, Lord, is to have your wisdom when she asks questions, that he'll have the right answers for her, Lord. Not to push anything on her, but to have the right answers when she asks questions, Father. And I thank you for the rest and the joy and the peace that you've placed in Andrew's heart, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Thank you for blessing him, Lord. Thank you, Father. I had I'd gotten a call after the last conference, and I was sharing, and I think there was a little bit of confusion about what I shared was brother that I know that went to a meeting, and what he did is he works in the foreclosed homes industry, where they take care of the homes that are foreclosed on for the banks. And the company that he works for is the CEO that they had a big meeting for all their contractors. And that was the CEO that came out and said that they weren't prepared in 2008, which meant for all the influx of foreclosed homes. They were just totally unprepared for that. And now they are prepared, and they were warning their contractors to get geared up because something's happening this fall. And so that was coming from the bank side of it. They were kind of forewarning him that there's something coming this fall to get geared up. So if I guess there might have been a little bit of confusion on that, and Chris called me, and we kind of cleared that up, and he was just, you know, it was kind of neat because, you know, he listened to my testimony, and he just kind of made a comment, you know, that's kind of how we're supposed to be with everybody that we meet and we run across and all that, not just our family members. And the Lord was really working on his heart as far as to just be, you know, just being in that frame of mind where everybody would run across, you know, as far as that. So I thought that was kind of neat what the Lord was working on him in the morning on. So, but that was good. So, all right, anybody else have a comment or a thought or?
I don't know if I shared this, Tim, on the conference call. I have with the local assembly, but I don't remember if I did or not. If I have, stop me. Talking about last-minute salvation, years ago I had a brother-in-law that was a diabetic, and he's a drinker. And he just wouldn't quit drinking, and he wouldn't eat right, and wouldn't take his insulin right, and wasn't a Christian, of course. And I got to talking to him about the Lord, you know, and telling him some miracles that I had seen the Lord do, healing people with diabetes. And he didn't want to hear it. He listened, but he said, that's okay. I don't want to hear that. And he didn't actually come out and tell me that, but I told him to give me a call if he needed prayer, you know. Well, he went into a coma one weekend, and I had talked with him probably 4 or 5 days earlier about the Lord, and we were good friends earlier before I became a Christian. Of course, when you become a Christian, they tend to shy away from you. Anyway, I had called my sister and said, well, what's going on, you know, and she told me, she said, he's in a coma. He may not live through this one. And he came out of the coma, and she asked him if he wanted me to come up there. This is in a town about 25 miles away, about 40 miles away. And he said, no, I'm okay. I'll be fine, you know. And I went to praying for him. After I, you know, found out he'd been put in the hospital. And then he went into another coma. And I knew that he didn't want me up there. So this was on a Saturday, I think, when he went into the coma. And Sunday morning early, I don't know, 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning, the Lord woke me up and said, I want you to go up there and I want you to pray for him. I said, Lord, are you sure? He didn't want me up there. And he said, I want you to go up there. I said, okay. So I got up and got dressed and went up there, drove up there. And he was in ICU and they had him all hooked up and everything. And they just didn't expect him to live. And on the way up there, I knew that Richard was in a coma and that they didn't expect him to come out of it. I said, Lord, he's in a coma. How's that going to work, you know? And he told me, he said, well, his spirit can hear you. His spirit understands you. You go do what I ask you to do. So I went on up there and I had called my sister earlier and I said, look, I'm coming up there to pray for Richard. The Lord has awakened me and asked me to come up here and pray for him. I said, can you arrange to where I can go in there and pray for him without any interruption? She said, yeah. I said, okay. So I went up there and I told her, I said, I really don't need you in there. I just want to go in there and pray for him. I said, it'll be okay. She said, okay. Of course, she trusted me because she and I were real close at one time. Anyway, got up there And just before I went into his room, I talked with my sister, and the Lord said, bring her with you. And so I said, come on, you're going to go too. So she went in there with me. She's a younger sister. She's a couple of years younger than I am. And anyway, we went in there, and Richard's in there sitting in there in a coma, a diabetic coma. And I didn't really expect him to live. Had no hope for him. And so and I'm sitting there. I feel funny because he's in a coma and he's not looking at me, you know. He's all hooked up to all of this instruments and thing. And I said, okay. I said, Richard, the Lord told me that you can hear me. And I believe you can. And the Lord sent me up here to tell you, you need to forgive and you need to ask the Lord to forgive you and to ask him to give you salvation, to save you, to repent and to believe. And, you know, he's just sitting there. He's just laying there. I'm not seeing any kind of movement whatsoever. You know, I said, okay, Lord, this is funny. I'm feeling funny here. I said, Richard, and I just started talking to him just like if he was there, but I'd shut my eyes and was talking to him and just told him, gave him the salvation message and told him, you know, you need to do this and you'll be going to heaven. The Lord, through all of his grace and his mercy, woke me up this morning to get me to come up here to give you this salvation message. I said, I've been praying for you and I've been praying for my sister for many years now. And I said, the Lord wants to save you. And I said, this is your chance. And I just believe that the Lord took him. And then the Lord told me to focus on my sister. And I said, Alanette, her name is Alanette. I said, Alanette, do you want what I was just talking to Richard about? She said, yes, I do. And went through it with her and prayed with her. And I believe she was saved at that particular time. But anyway, after I left, 2 hours later, he was dead. So I believe that the Lord, even if people are in comas and you've been praying for them, the reason I told this story is that Tim was talking about, he can save them on their deathbed. He saved Richard on his deathbed. I just believe it with all my heart that he saved Richard. Richard was a proud, very self-centered type of person, but you know, he had a pretty good heart. He had always had money. They had always had a lot of money, and you know, those type of people, they just lived a good life. And he was young when he died. But I believe through the prayers that were put up for him, that God, in his grace and his mercy, took him on home. Up there, you know, and I believe he'd be waiting up there, you know, tell me what I was saying in that hospital bedroom. And of course, it got my sister to thinking about the Lord. You know, she got into the apostate religion out there, the everyday Christian religion, and kind of a fence straddler. But, you know, I keep on praying for and I'm believing for, and I believe that the Lord's going to save all of my family because of the prayers that we put up for them over the years. And then, you know, like David has talked about, and we've been, as a matter of fact, that last chapter in, what's the name of the book, Tim? The Tongue Conquers the Curse. Power of the Tongue, it used to be. Talks about praising God, said David mentioned the fact that 99.1% of our prayer life should be the prayer, and 99% of it should be thanking and praising the Lord. And that made so much sense to me. 1% ought to be praying and 99% thanking and praising the Lord for your prayers that are answered. And I believe that, and that's the way God wants it. But anyway, I thought I'd share that to him and just give people hope and belief that God can do anything. Amen.
Amen. Yeah, we were going over that chapter, and the verse that says, "Let no corrupt speech proceed out of your mouth, but such as is good for edifying as the need may be, that it may give grace to them that hear." And we know that edifying is building up as the need may be, that it may give grace to them that hear. And I was just looking at that saying, if anybody can hear what we are saying, and that includes God, that, you know, he knows what we're saying, he knows what we're thinking, but we need to speak grace that builds up or edifies people. And that, you know, that includes the person we're talking to, and that includes the person we're talking about. And the other thing I saw in that is that it must, whatever speech comes out of our mouth must edify God, because he's hearing it. So, I mean, it's just, it's kind of a, you know, sometimes it's, you know, we get into not putting a watch before our lips, and we start talking about others, or, you know, and I just came out of the curse. I mean, just going up to Ohio for a day, or, you know, 2 days, or, I mean, it was just basically I was up there a day, but I was just living in the curse. I was just living in Babylon, and I was just seeing that everything I was listening to was corrupt speech. It was all guile. It was unforgiveness, talking about other people, criticizing other people, talking about what idiots people are. I mean, it was just like, that's what the world is just caught up in, is just corrupt speech. And none of it edifies. And it's just amazing, you know, when you read a verse like this, and God's listening to it all. I mean, he's hearing everything that's coming out of our mouth. But, it's giving thanks always for all things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's really, you know, thanking him, you know, like Michael said, it's, we need to pray it, we need to believe it, you know, that, and then we just got to keep thanking him until we see it manifest. And I really see what happens is we pray something, and then our emotions are being led by what we see and what we hear, and we get pulled into these emotions. And these emotions pull us into doubt or unbelief, or our emotions get us into works, and we fall out of faith for what we're praying for because we're being swayed by our emotions, you know, and then and that's all being swayed because we're seeing of this world. We're not seeing it in the spirit. So we got to pray it again, and then we just get in. The enemy just comes in and just works through our emotions to try to, you know, and that's why sometimes it takes so long for us to see an answer prayer, because we keep falling into unbelief, because we keep getting, you know, swayed by our emotions. And our emotions are really ramped up when we're around people that we love. When we're around our family, or we're around brothers and sisters in the Lord, we got more of a bond there, and our emotions are brought in. And, you know, we see stuff going on in their life, or we see what they're saying, or, you know, whatever it is. And we get called in, you know, get caught up in those emotions, and we kind of, you know, fall out of faith. But that's where I just try to just keep praising Him and thanking Him. And it's something you gotta ask Him to put in you, and, you know, just to stand on that. But then when you start seeing those answered prayers, it becomes more easy. And in here it said in Romans 8, it says that, and we know that to them that love God, all things work together for the good, even to them that are called according to His purpose. And, you know, sometimes when I'm reading through this, I kind of look at the way some of these things are written, but it says all things work together for the good to them that love God. And there's a lot of people that love God out there, but then it says even to them that are called according to His purpose. So I was thinking, is there people that love God that aren't called? Because it says even to them that are called according to His purpose. I don't know. That was just one thing that kind of jumped out to me as far as that. But yeah, praise. I mean, we're just kind of in this chapter about praise, and it's awesome. Be anxious of nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication and thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Amen. So, all right. Anybody else have a thought there? Got a few more minutes. Does anybody need prayer? Everybody's awfully quiet tonight. Yeah, the only other thing I saw, and I really see this, you know, we're in the South, but they're trying to take the Confederate flag down, and I'm seeing all these, what I call good old boys, running around in their pickup trucks, and they got the Confederate flag stuck in the back, and they're, you know, they're flying around. I'm just seeing more and more of them. And I see it's just an attempt to stir up. And, you know, the other day I saw a guy with two Confederate flags. And on the one Confederate flag, you know, in the middle of it had like a thing of a, it looked like a mean dog with a chain around its neck. And I think below it had the initials for the Marine Corps. And then on the other Confederate flag, it had like an emblem with a cross in it. So I was just really seeing where, you know, the patriotism and the church and the Confederate flag and all this, it's just, you know, they're stirring up the pot there, and, you know, what's going on in Ferguson and, you know, the different things that are happening. They're trying to stir up the race, card. And now with the whole gay agenda, they're stirring up the church. And I was really seeing where we've been talking about the, because I noticed something when I was in Ohio. The weather was beautiful. There was a beautiful sunset. The night I was up there, it was just a gorgeous sunset. And I was thinking, man, I didn't see any chemtrails. And I came down to Tennessee, and I'm seeing all these chemtrails. And, I was just kind of, it's like, wow, what's that all about? And, we're talking, well, they're targeting and stuff like that. But I was really thinking that, you know, all these things are going on. and everybody's getting on Facebook, and they're I'm sure all the people that are pro Confederate flags are sending all their likes, you know, for the Confederate flag and all this stuff. I mean, they're sending them out, and the church is sending out all this anti-gay and that, and then, you know, all the pro-gun people are sending that out, and then all the, you know, the people that are, you know, as far as, you know, claiming prejudice and all this, I mean, they're, you know, all this stuff is just, you know, everybody's liking and sending stuff out in comments and, you know, all that, and I'm just seeing it's just such a tool for the government to just be able to track hot spots and be able to track, you know, who's believing what and who's pro-Christian and anti-this or pro-gun or pro-patriotism or this and this and this. I was just saying that, yeah, I'm sure that they're supercomputers. I mean, they've got this down to a science, and we're just playing right into the game with our social media. So, I don't know, just something was on my heart. So let's pray. Father, we just thank you Lord, we just ask you just put us in that Psalms 91, Lord, in the secret place. And Lord, hide us from just the beast out there, and take us out of their computers and take us out of all their tracking and everything that's going on. Lord, just allow us to be stealth in Christ. And we just thank you for that, Lord. We thank you for just all you're doing in our lives, Lord, what you're doing in our families' lives. Lord, help us to just stand in faith, to pray and believe, and then just praise. And just give you the praise when it just comes about. And we just thank you for just working in our lives, answering our prayers, working in our families' lives, and bringing them into the fullness. We thank you for just using us to be a light. Teach us to be led of you. Teach us to be patient and wait on you. Convict us when we get into works and get ahead of you. Lord, open up our spiritual eyes. Allow us to be your small voice, Lord. Allow us to listen and just get quiet with you. And Lord, we just thank you for growing us up, Lord, allowing us to manifest Christ, allowing us to be used of you in these end days, Lord. Just thank you. We just ask you, just bless everybody tonight. Bless their week. Open their eyes in the Word. Give them a new excitement, new hunger. Refresh their spirits. Fill them with your joy. Give them peace. Bless them. Thank you, Lord, for just all that. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, good night, everybody.
Amen. Good night, everybody.